Okay, we'll catch you later, huh? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, sir, for all this that we're hearing. We're hearing praise reports of your mighty, mighty hand. We're hearing praise reports of how your kingdom works. We're hearing praise reports, Lord, of some awesome things that you're doing in your children. And Lord, all due respect as I say this, but Lord, it's like this is what we should expect. Your word teaches us to expect great and mighty things because you are a great and mighty God. Your word teaches us that we are born into your kingdom for such a time as this. And being born into your kingdom gives us spiritual, legal rights to be blessed. And so, Lord, while we are humbled by these things and humbled by these awesome reports, we also take a certain pride in being available to be blessed, in being receptive to be blessed. Lord, you're just amazing. You are so amazing. And you've included us in your amazing kingdom. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we good on the mics? You going to change? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can I hear myself yet? Can I hear me now? That's sounding better. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming. If you're a visitor today, I believe you did the right thing. If you're a regular, you did the right thing. And anybody that's upset with the new carpet, please say, oh me. I guess we're all happy. I could say a lot about the carpet. The fundraiser actually started about 4 years ago. You know, we're not the biggest church in town, and we're not the richest church in town, and what money does come in, we feed a lot of mouths with it, and it goes a lot of different directions, and a lot goes to missions, and I mean, I have my gold faucets to pay for, and so, you know, it took a while to get $8,000 for this carpet, but you did it! Thank you, and God thanks you. The community thanks you because it's to the glory of God. Amen? So, you know, what are we going to get done in the next 4 years, the next $8,000? Just wait and see. It's going to be good. Amen? And we had a terrific team here. By that, I mean a lot of the guys here in the church came and helped move stuff and clean stuff. And it was a big project. I hid in Mexico for 2 days while it was happening. Well, kind of. I was busy there too. La tarea sigue. The assignments continue no matter where we're, what we're doing, amen? But one of the guys that's kind of quiet and you don't know much, maybe you didn't know this was going on, he's kind of an undercurrent guy, undercover guy, but someone that really made this carpet thing happen is sitting right here, and I want to thank you, Brother Juan. Here's a little token of my appreciation. Don't cut yourself. That's for cleaning your fingernail. Juan was our main connection to the carpet team and the carpet salespeople, and he just took care of business. Thank you. TCB, take care of business. That was Elvis Presley's main theme for all the people that worked under him. Did you know that? TCB, take care of business. That was his number one theme. Something good about Elvis, that and blue suede shoes. I like that. God is good, and he's always good. And his mercy is what? I want to take you on a little journey this morning. About 30 minutes. We're going to plan to eat some chicken here pretty soon. You don't eat chicken? Anybody want chicken? If you don't eat chicken, there'll be something else. We'll have some lettuce or something back there for you. But I need about 30. Who, can you give me 30 minutes? Raise your hand if you can give me 30 minutes. Okay, there's 30, 60, 90, 120. Yeah. Okay, I've got it. And with that in mind, I'm going to kind of rush through this as far as, no, I'm not going to rush. I'm going to take my time, and if I don't finish it now, I'll finish it later. That makes more sense, huh? I was raised in a rush. My dad, 93 years old, and he still outworks most of us. But his theme all of my life was, do it now. And, you know, you tell you to do something, and he had two major instructions. Go do it, and as you started, he'd say, run! And so I was raised on the rush. And my whole life was rush, rush, rush. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And, you know, hurry up because you got to get that done because there's something else waiting for you to do. And that was just the way I was raised. But I don't want to do my sermons that way because I want to get it. I want it to soak in. Go to Matthew chapter 3 while I'm rambling. Did we get it? Did we get that on the computer this morning, the card I sent back there? Hopefully that'll line up with what I want to do. This was going to be Baptismal Sunday, and I had prepared some things along in a message along the line of baptism, and this is definitely part of it. But as we decided to postpone baptism because of the carpet thing that went to 11 o'clock last night, it's like the Holy Spirit said, well, there's more to it than baptism. I want you to go ahead and flow through with this. And so he gave me some more ideas and pointers and scriptures. And so this is going to be, we'll call this your pre-baptism message. And I'm naming the title of this sermon, Kingdom Minded Part 1. I believe with all my heart God wants us to be kingdom minded. It's really early. Lord, help me with this. It's real easy to become self-minded, our own little world-minded, our own church-minded, our own community-minded, job-minded. I worked for a guy one time who was a pusher, and the first thing he told me in training, the first day, he said, what I want you to know is that I'm a pusher, and I want you to take this job with you everywhere you go. He says, well, you know, you don't leave the job at 5 o'clock. You take it home with you because this job needs to roll over in your mind, roll over in your communication with your friends and with the community, and you need to live this job 24/7 and you'll do well. And he was a hotshot car salesman that back in, 30 years ago was making $50,000 a month because he had this mindset. And I didn't, long story short, I didn't fit in well to that, and I didn't last very long, because I wanted to give the cars away. And somebody come in with a sad story or a great big need, and I just wanted to give it to them, and so I'd go to the bottom line right away, and the boss would go, you don't do it that way. Anyway, how'd they get off on that? We need to be kingdom-minded, not job-minded, not self-minded, not Faith Ministries church-minded. We need to be kingdom-minded. We are on planet Earth, and the whole planet is ours. The whole planet is our field. Jesus is our king, and he's king of the kingdom. And we are subjects in his kingdom, and our territory, our kingdom, is planet Earth. And so it's real important that we stay kingdom-minded and not get down in this little ball of self or selfishness and us for and no more. And I'm not sure why I said that because it wasn't where I wanted to start. But it fits somebody's heart right now. Be kingdom-minded. Did you find Matthew 3? Let's read the first two verses. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got to stop here for a minute and share something with you. As I begin to, you know, I thought, oh boy, I get to teach on repentance, you know. Hellfire and brimstone. Well, there's a time for that. And I have the utmost respect for repentance. As we've been studying repentance, and even in the late, in the last few weeks, the Lord has added some added a couple of things to my notes on repentance. I used to teach repentance as being sorry for your sins. You know, I moved it up a notch, and you need to pray and ask God to forgive you for your sins. Then we moved it up a notch as we learned that repentance means to stop going that way, turn around, and go that way. You know. Well, then, just recently the Lord moved it up another notch, and he said, even that's not true repentance. True repentance is when you stop and realize why you need to turn around and go the other way. If we don't realize why we're turning around to go the other way, won't be long, we'll bounce off the wall and be headed back the wrong way again. So repentance is a very, very important first step in entering the kingdom of God. How many want to be in the kingdom of God? Now, I need to inform you, this is straight from the Bible. If we had time to teach it, I'd prove it by the scripture. But kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, as it is used in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the same place. Different authors use different terms. And so if I say kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, same place. It's where Jesus is reigning as king, okay? Everybody say Jesus is king. Well, we want to be in that kingdom, and the first thing we do to get in that kingdom is repent. And we realize why we need to stop and turn around and go the other way. It's like you're going nowhere fast going the wrong way. You're going to slam into the wall going the wrong way. It's going to hurt if you keep going the wrong way. I was raised a Christian, but haven't always lived the Christian life. As a young man, I did things that young men are not supposed to do. And I learned the hard way that you can get hurt bad and you can hurt others bad. Those that you really love and care for get hurt when you get hurt when you're going the wrong way. But something I begin to see in the last couple of days is that the Lord says, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I went, okay, I need to know more about that at hand thing. Well, praise the Lord for a Bible that refers you to some Greek meanings. You know, some things, it's all Greek to me, but what it's saying here is you need to stop. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to change your mind because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Anywhere it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it means the kingdom of God has drawn near. Now, if God is drawn near to you, you better be waking up and think about what you're doing. Because God has come to your house and he's entered the room and he's watching everything you do. A couple of people said, why didn't I keep the door locked? I didn't want God to see that. Repent because God's close. Next time you think you want to go do something wrong, you need to remember something. Wait a minute. God's close. It's not like he's over there and maybe he's going to see. No, he's right here and he is going to see. Are you with me? God's kingdom has drawn near. In the Old Testament, the kingdom of God was, of course, you know, like it is now in the sense that it was everywhere. But God was specifically working among the children of Israel. That was his focal point. That was his focus. But now he has drawn near to everybody who calls on his name. He has drawn near to everybody that repents. It's interesting that we have moved up a notch from being people of Israel, as we were termed in the Old Testament, people, the people of Israel. We've moved up from being people of Israel to becoming people of God. We're no longer called children of Israel. We're called children of God. Because God has drawn close. I'm on something here that's starting to touch my heart. I wanted to get off on you. God's close. God's close. God's close. His kingdom is close. And it's not just close in the sense that it's coming in the coming of the return of the Lord Jesus and his coming. No, he's here by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. He's here and he's drawn close. When you sit down with a humble heart and begin to meditate on the Word of God, chew on the Word of God, devour the Word of God, he gets real close if you'll let him, because he's right there. He'll come right up out of the book and get all over you. And you kneel beside the bed or wherever it is you choose to kneel or sit before the Lord. I like to lay before the Lord, especially, you know, about siesta time. He gets close. When we give him the attention and the time, he will draw close. He's close. Everybody say, God's close to me. Where in the world am I? Let's go to Matthew 4:12. We're going to read several verses down through 17, yeah. Now when Jesus heard that John, it's John the Baptist, everybody. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put into prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea. This is proof that God wants me to move to San Carlos and live by the ocean. Jesus went to live by the sea. In the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Hallelujah, Jesus has drawn near. And from that time, what time? From the time that John was put into prison, verse 12. From the time that John was put into prison, when he heard that John was in prison, he moved to the seashore. You got that? You following me? He hears John's in prison. Okay, I'm going to go to the seashore. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say the same thing that John was saying. He didn't change it one bit. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. It must be a very important message for Jesus to pick up on what the Holy Spirit told John to preach. And then Jesus himself picks it up word by word and preaches the same thing. That tells me we've got a vital message to listen to. Oh, preacher, you need to be preaching to the sinners. They're the ones that need to repent. You met any Christians lately? Oh, Lord, don't let us go there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's drawn near. Everybody say, God has drawn near. Look at Mark. Where are we? Mark 1. Mark 1, the first, we're going to read 15 verses. You don't mind. Everybody say, I don't mind. Okay, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Now, keep in mind, this is not the beginning of the New Testament. It's the beginning of the gospel. You know, the beginning of the New Testament started at the resurrection of the Lord. Somewhere in there is his resurrection and ascension. That's when the New Testament actually started. But the gospel of Jesus Christ started right here. It started right here when he began to preach what John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. That's when the gospel started. Now, what does gospel mean? Come on, Bible scholar. It means good news. How many know it's good news when it says, when he says God's drawn near? Now, if you haven't repented yet, it's going to be bad news when you realize God has drawn near. Because you can get real uncomfortable like a cat on a hot tin roof. You can get real uncomfortable when God draws near and you haven't repented yet. Hello? Oh, you guys are so much fun. Let's read on. As it is written in the prophets, what did they write? Behold, I send my messenger, by the way, that's John the Baptist, before your face, the face of the Lord. He will prepare your way before you. This is John the Baptist. He's preparing the way before the Lord. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of what? Why? For the remission of sins. Remission here simply means forgiveness. Now that's good news. Next time some religious Christian gets in your face and starts fussing at you for some little thing that don't amount to nothing, just tell them, well, I'll just have you know my sins have been remitted and forgiven and you need to drop this and let me live. And then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him, John, in the Jordan River. What were they doing when they were getting baptized? What is that? Somebody's phone? Is it the cooler? We're okay. Boy, I thought maybe... I thought the Migra was coming. I was getting ready to hide. I want you to notice what they were doing during baptism. Lord willing, if we continue our plan as planned and do water baptism first Sunday of July, when our baptismal candidates come into the water, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit if they fulfill the scripture and start confessing their sins. Be careful, don't use names. Let's go to the next. We're going to read about several verses here yet. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Let me pause just a minute. We have a picture of that over here in this album. After the service, you will find John the Baptist dressed like that in this photo album. Look forward to it. Okay, back on track. And he, John, preached, saying, there comes one after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit because, okay, leave that alone for a minute. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. He is going to baptize you the Holy Spirit because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's will baptize you the Holy Spirit because he wants to be so close to you that he can live on the inside of your heart. Let's move on. It came to pass after those, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him. Him is capitalized, that's Jesus. Spirit descends like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, you, God is speaking over his son, and he says, you, who's got the voice of God this morning? You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Immediately, the Spirit drove him, Jesus, into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Now, after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the what? Gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is where? At hand, drawn close. So repent and believe in the good news. Isn't that sweet? I just love that. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. What he's saying, don't wait 1 minute longer. God has drawn near. The time is fulfilled. Everything that needs to happen in your life has happened. It's time now for you to repent and draw near because he's come near to you. Some people are too rebellious to repent. The Bible even teaches us, especially in the book of Revelation, that there will be those that even under severe crisis of tribulation, they will refuse to repent. They would rather burn in hell than to repent. That's how much pride will be in their heart. And then there's others on the opposite end of that spectrum. They have a hard time repenting because they don't think they're worthy. They don't think they're worthy to come to God. They think their sins are bigger than the blood, and they don't want to sin. I mean, they don't want to repent. Oh, guys, we got to repent. We need to take pleasure in repentance. Where am I? I'll catch up with myself in just a minute. Again, an important message, because what John preached on repentance, Jesus followed the same message. Okay, I want to take us to Luke 3:3. And he went into all the region around Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Again, this is just a repeat. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John so far. We may not be finished. But we have three authors of the Holy Bible who have recorded this, which tells me it's vital. When you have three holy, divinely ordained authors saying the same thing, the same message, you need to perk up and listen. Because God wants you to get this. Right? Let's go to John 1. I want to read 34 verses in John 1 because it's so full of kingdom-mindedness. We're going from Luke 3 to John 1. I'm skipping a lot of verses. That's why the computers the computer is just not as fast as my brain. Let's face it. And there's a whole bunch of verses on the card back there that are supposed to be read before I read this next one. That's why it's trying to catch up. But in John 1:1, the first 34 verses is where we're going. We may need to do that out of the paper. Tell me if you see it come up. It's up. Now, if you don't have New King James, which I'm using this morning, that's the one Paul used. And now, if you don't use New King James, that's okay, but the wording is going to be a little different, so your brain has to work overtime and translate your version and this version at the same time. So sometimes it's better to just look up here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we all know by good Bible teaching over the years that Jesus is the Word. Okay? And he was in the beginning with God. Now, he was not in the beginning as Jesus who came to Bethlehem. Jesus the Christ was in the form of the Word of God, the creative spoken power of God at this time. He was not yet born a baby in the manger. But the same guy, same spirit. How many know you have a spirit and a soul and a body? Do we need to get in? Well, we're created in the image of God, so he has a spirit and a soul and a body. But Jesus was in, not in the form of the baby in the manger, but he was in the form of the Word during these days in the beginning. And all things were made through him, Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and that's the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. And he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. He was not Jesus, he was sent to bear witness of Jesus. And that true light, everybody say, the true light is Jesus. That true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The true light gives light. What kind of light does he give? What kind of light does the true light give? What kind of light does the true light give? What kind of light does the true light give? I'm either so far behind you that, or I'm so far ahead of you, I'm not sure what. What kind of light does the true light give? True. Now this is important because there's a lot of light out there. It's not all true light. There's a lot of enlightenment. If you don't wonder, you know, go to Bisbee for a while. There's a lot of enlightenment out there. But it's not true light. But Jesus will bring you the true light. And he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was even made through him, and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. Let's move on. Verse 11. Did I read verse 11? Okay. I did. Okay. I just have to catch up. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them, he gave the right to become what? Children of Israel. No. Jesus moved everything up a notch. He says, it's not just going to be a little group called the children of Israel. We're going to have a big group, including the folks in Douglas, and we're going to call them children of God. Oh, that's good news, folks. That's good news. You know, back in the old days, if you wanted to be one of God's chosen boys, you had to be circumcised. Oh, Lord, get me off of this. But as many as received him, gave him the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Would you like to be a child of God? Yes. Believe in his name. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Bible, Lord is the Father. Jesus is the Son, and Christ is the Spirit. The very name, Lord Jesus Christ, is the Trinity in one. He is God. And his name proves that he's all of God. Wow. Everything that God is. Oh, I love Paul's writings. I should have had it in my notes. He says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. If you got to heaven, you know, whatever mode you get there, if you got to heaven at 2:00 today and say, I want to see God, they show you Jesus. Those who believe in name, those who were born not just of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. It's called new birth. Jesus said those that are born into the kingdom of God have to be born of water and spirit. My mother saw to it that I was born of water. A Baptist preacher saw to it that I was born again of God. Does that mean it was God's idea? If we were born of God, whose idea was that? Maybe he made a mistake. Was he off there? Did he mess up something? You mean he wanted you? You're born of God because he wanted you? He loves me. I like that. Say it again. One more time.
He loves me.
Everybody say it. He loves me. Say, Daddy loves me. He loves me a lot. Daddy wants me. Say that. Daddy wants me. He wants me a lot. Oh, yes. The Word became flesh. The Word that was with God in the beginning. The Word that created all things. The very creative source power of God. The supernatural power of God that created all things, that set all life and all matter and all things in motion. That Word became flesh. And that's when the baby was born in the manger. That's when Jesus, the Word, became flesh, when he was born in the manger. And he was born in the manger, he became flesh, and he dwelt among us. He keeps wanting to be close. The kingdom of heaven is what? Drawn near, come close. If you notice it, he just keeps wanting, and he says in so many different ways, I want to be close. I want to be close. I have a wife that's been my wife for a whole lot of years now. And I just love her to pieces, and she's always been my lover and always will be, and I just want to be with her. I just want to be close. And so, you know, even in that sense of life, I have a little bit of understanding of the need to be close and the joy of being close. And I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed. Where am I? The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Here now with John the Revelator, or John the Apostle, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, disciple, also known as the Beloved of Christ. He beheld, he said, we beheld his glory. And his glory was of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John the Apostle bore witness of Jesus and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I... No, John the Baptist here, excuse me. John the Baptist bore witness of Jesus and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he comes after me and is preferred before me, for he was before me, because he was before all. Amen? I want to share these things with you today because I want you to... You start catching a glimpse of what it's like to be in the kingdom. First of all, we repent. We realize why we repent. We do this on purpose, not because the preacher says you need to repent. Something in the heart says I need to repent. And I got to get this right. I got to turn this thing around. I got to get this right. This gets you into the kingdom. This is all part of becoming kingdom-minded. You realize you're in there now. You realize that when you commit your life to Christ and when you ask forgiveness for your sins, the Bible says it this way through Paul, said, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. As you become a new creature, a new person, a new creation, a new species in Christ. Now, the natural mind won't get this, but your spirits will. When you become born again and receive Christ as your Savior, you actually become a new species. That'll make you dig. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, the Word who was with him in the beginning, who is in the bosom of the Father, he, Jesus, has declared him the Father. You want to know more about the Father? Talk to Jesus. He knows everything about the Father. And now when this testimony of John, and when the Jews have sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, I'm not the Christ. John the Baptist said, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? No. Then they said, who are you that we can give an answer to those that sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Pharisees were a very religious group of believers, but they were super religious, super legalistic. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? And John the Baptist answered and said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you don't know. It's he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, by the way, they were cousins, about 3 months apart in age, John being the oldest. He sees his cousin Jesus, the one he had played cowboys and Indians with. He sees him coming down to the shore, and John said, hey, cuz, I need your baptism. What are you coming down here for? And Jesus said, wait a minute, I need to do this. Let's go on. And he, Jesus, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who's preferred before me, and he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Jesus. One more verse, I think. No, that's it. Everybody say, that's it. That's all, folks. John testified that this is the Son of God. If you're to be kingdom-minded, you need to know these things. You also need to know, I want to do this one in a nutshell. You knew I was nuts, right? I'm going to do this in a nutshell. John the Baptist started this kingdom thing with the preaching and the baptism in water. Jesus picked up on the same message and started baptizing in the Spirit. Same message, two baptisms. John's message, Jesus' message, very same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn nigh. It's close to you. Same message. But John says, I'm doing this baptism thing in water. Jesus says, I'm doing this baptism thing in the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is a very important part of the church. It's a very important part of our public witness, of our commitment to serve Christ. It signifies the death, the burial, and the resurrection of you, as well as the Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statement, a public statement that it's just, you know, we're the only religion that has something this beautiful to declare who we are in Christ. But I want you to seek the Lord, because not only do you need to be baptized in water, but you need to move up to that place where you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you followed through and you've repented and you realize that Jesus has drawn near, you're a candidate and you're ready, and all you got to do is just get it. I mean, on your knees, on your face, wherever you can get it, but just, Lord, I receive. I am a candidate. I have repented. I've cleansed my heart before you. I've done all I know to do. Lord, here I am. Fix me. Help me, Jesus. And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Baptism means immersion. It doesn't mean sprinkling. That is not baptism. If you were sprinkled, you were not baptized. You were sprinkled. To be baptized, you have to be immersed. And we've got multitudes of scriptures that prove this. Sprinkling can be good. I'm all for sprinkling. My mother was sprinkled in the Methodist church. But it wasn't baptism. Baptism is immersion. And baptism in the Holy Spirit is also immersion. Please stand to your feet. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is immersion. He wants you immersed in the Holy Spirit. What's that look like? It looks good. It feels good. It's an experience you need to experience. You need to just come under the immersion of the Holy Spirit by getting close to God as He draws close to you. Draw close to Him. You don't even have to have anything special said over you or prayed over you. If your heart's right, you can begin to receive the immersing of the Holy Spirit. You can begin to even feel Him wash over you. You can even begin to feel Him as He washes over you by the Spirit. Some people call it warm fuzzies. Some people call it goosebumps. I'm telling you, when God draws near, He wants to wash over you in a baptism of immersion. He wants to just soak you in Himself. Soak you in Himself. You may be here today and you're saying, well, preacher, enough of all of that. I understood a bit here and there, but preacher, where I'm at is that I need the first step. I want to become kingdom-minded. I'm tired of being self-minded. It hasn't got me anywhere. I'm tired of being this world-minded. They've always steered me the wrong way. Preacher, I'd like to become kingdom-minded. I want that first step. I'd like to repent today. I'd like to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'd like to ask Him to come and change my life, turn me around. If you're here today and you just want to raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me because I want the first step into the kingdom. I want to repent. Just shoot your hand up. I just want to repent in Jesus' name. I just want to repent. That's first step. Some of you may say, well, I've made that first step. I'd like to take the next step. I'd like to join the troop next month in water baptism. Raise your hand if you'd like to join the troop in water baptism. There's some. Amen. If you're under 18, you need your parents' consent. Just tell them you're going for a swim. No. A little more than that. And how many would like to say, I want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand with that. I'll go again for that one. I want the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Raise both hands and say, Lord, immerse me in your Spirit. Just raise both hands right now. Get serious with God for a minute. Say, Lord, immerse me into your Spirit. Immerse me into your presence. Fill me with you, Lord. Fill me with you. Fill me with you. Fill me with you. Lord, I need you. Fill me with you. Fill me with you. Lord, you said you were drawing near. You had John and Jesus preaching the same message that you're drawing near. So, Lord, if you're that close, I want to feel you. Come on. You can say that to Him. Lord, if you're that close, I want to feel it. You can feel the presence of another person drawing close to you. Well, even thus more so, you can feel the presence of God Himself as He draws close to you. Just begin to receive that right now. Begin to saturate in it. Begin to receive it. Begin to be thankful for it. Begin to tell Jesus with all your heart and with all thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for coming to me today. Thank you for filling my life today. Thank you for immersing me with you today. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me to become kingdom-minded. Where that I think like you instead of thinking like the world. Kingdom-minded so that I can think above selfishness and over in the realm of how can I give? What can I do? Oh, precious Father, we thank you so much for being so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Boys and girls, yeah, that's you. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-night stand. And if you'll make it a lifestyle, if you'll make this kingdom thing a lifestyle, you'll never regret it. If you make it a lifestyle, you'll be better for it. If you make it a lifestyle, God and His Word will have meaning to you that it's never had before. Everybody say this, Father, in Jesus' name, I accept your blessing, and I want it to be a lifestyle. I want my life to reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss and tell them they're wonderful. And let's continue our fellowship in the dining room over that chicken. Pray for the food. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the food. We bless the food. We enjoy the food. We cleanse it by prayer and thanksgiving, and with gratitude receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.